Dear friends of Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The gospel reading this morning is from John 17, which is a lengthy prayer of Jesus. We just read a portion of it. And this prayer is known as Jesus' high priestly prayer. It's a prayer of intercession. Jesus is praying for his disciples that they will be protected, that they'll be unified as one, that they'll be sanctified with truth, and that they will carry out his mission in the world. And that's going to be my focus in the sermon, the mission in the world. He also is praying for us in this prayer, because now we have the job of carrying that mission. And here's what he said in verse 20. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. The late Raymond Brown, who was a biblical scholar and expert on the Gospel of John, wrote this about chapter 17. The goal of this prayer is that those who have been hostile to the coming of the Son may believe that the Father has sent him. Such believing leads to life in his name. I know that many of you are familiar with John 17 because you've participated in a John 17 weekend. And you know that one of the things that Jesus prays for in this prayer is for unity for those who follow him. In verse 23, here's what Jesus prayed. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you've loved me. You see, when there's unity in the church, our witness is far more clear and far more effective. And so the primary emphasis of this prayer is that the world would come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior and receive in him a new and abundant life. Jesus is praying for the success of the church's mission in the world. He is praying that our mission will be a witness to him. So there's a very important question we have to ask ourselves. What is our mission? The church doctor asked that question of us months ago. It's a good question. What is our mission? Well, the church has a history. I'm talking about the Christian church going back to its beginning, has a history of using the image of a ship or a boat to describe its mission. The early church understood that it was on a mission to sail to other lands to take the gospel to those people who did not know it. You can think of the Apostle Paul and the trips that he took on sea, but also by land. In the first three centuries, the early church was on the move. These Christians went to their neighbors, and they witnessed to their neighbors. And by their persuasive preaching and by their acts of sacrificial love, they shared the good news of the Christian faith. Those early Christians were so effective that they changed the culture of the Roman Empire, leading Constantine to declare that Christianity would be the religion of the empire. You see, those early Christians had a focus on the world around them. They wanted all people to know Jesus Christ and his love for them. In later centuries, the church developed a different image of itself. They saw themselves as the ark of salvation. This image of the church was that the church held those who are saved, and the church viewed itself as being on a hostile sea. Its mission was to persevere and to protect itself from those outside forces that were trying to destroy it. It did not concern itself with those outside of the church. It kept its focus inward. The church went from being a movement to becoming an institution that wanted to protect itself. As you can imagine, the image that the church chooses to understand itself and its purpose affects the mission the church chooses to embark on. The image of the ship is carried over even into the architecture of church buildings. The area where you're sitting right now is called the nave. Can also mean navy. You know, you get a picture. It means a boat or a ship, and that's where we get the word navy. And if you picture a traditional cathedral, that nave is very long. And up front is a large area like this called the chancel, separated from the nave. However, when the term nave is recognized as a ship, then it's all about mission. And one person said, our mission is determined by what kind of ship we believe best describes the church. Someone once told me that the image of the church that we need to grapple with in the 21st century is this. Do we see our church as a cruise ship, or do we see our church as an aircraft carrier? Very different. Years ago, Lynn and I went on our first cruise. We took or went with our children and our grandchildren on a Disney cruise. And as you imagine, if you've been on a cruise, all kinds of food choices, tremendous entertainment, and there's no way a child, even a teenager, could say for one moment that he or she was bored. No way it could happen. The staff was attentive to our every need. We were able to have dinner every night with our children and grandchildren. And before the cruise began, our oldest son, Jeff, said to me, "Dad, you're going to love cruising." He said, "But the worst day of the cruise is the last day." I said, "Why is that?" "Because you have to get off the boat." And he was right. Now, the vision and mission statement of the Disney Cruise Line is this: to make people happy and to be the world's leading producer and provider of entertainment. I'm not here to advertise for Disney, but I can tell you this: they did a great job of fulfilling that vision and mission. Now, if our image of the church is that the church is a cruise ship, then here's what our mission will be. It will be to entertain, provide for every need, and meet every desire for comfort and contentment. And get this, the staff's role will be to make sure that everybody is happy. How is that going to work out? Many people would say, "Well, that sounds good to us. I like that image of the church." But I'm here to tell you, that's not what Jesus had in mind for his church. The church doctor, when he was here, taught us that when that consumer mentality takes over our vision and overcomes a kingdom culture mentality, the mission of the church will always turn inward. And I'm sad to say that's why many churches today are dying. Their mission has become focused inward. Now, what if the image is not that of a cruise ship, but our image is that of an aircraft carrier? How will that affect our mission? Two members of my former congregation served on the USS Ronald Reagan. And the USS Ronald Reagan is an aircraft carrier stationed in Japan. Now listen to just a part of the vision and mission of the USS Ronald Reagan. "We will show fortitude and integrity to do what is right and what is necessary, even when it's difficult, and to prevail in all operations from peace to war." What a distinction, huh? Nothing about everybody being happy and being entertained. That's not what their job is. A very different mission. Well, one of these sailors was home one weekend, and I had a chance to visit with him. And he is an officer in the Navy, and he says, as an officer, he had to serve on every different part of that ship so that he knew all about that ship. And he said the most dangerous place to be, well, the most dangerous place was on the deck where they launched the aircraft. And in fact, when he was serving up there, he had an accident and he broke his leg. What was clear after speaking with him is that an aircraft carrier is very clear about its mission. It practices launching airplanes because that's what an aircraft carrier was made to do. Aircraft carriers do not entertain. They do not provide every comfort. They train and equip sailors to send airplanes into their mission. They are in the sending business. So here's my question for us to think about. When we think about our church, should we be a cruise ship or should we be an aircraft carrier? You know, I think that's a pretty stark contrast, but who do we want to be? If the church in the 21st century is going to be effective in our society and going to make an impact, I think the image of the aircraft carrier is far better than the cruise ship. The church must understand that we are in the sending business. That's our mission, to go and share the good news of Jesus Christ and of his love to a world that longs to hear some good news and longs to know that God loves them. One person said it this way: The mission of the church is not to reach those of us who are already here. The mission is to reach those who are not here. As we're sitting here this morning, we should be thinking about who's not here that needs to be here. Who in my network that I could reach is not here, because we are in the sending business. Now, one word of clarification. The word mission, or our mission, is different than our ministry. Ministry is about what happens here at Desert Hope. Ministry is about the care, the nurture, the fellowship, the education, and challenge we give to one another in our church family right here. Ministry, for the most part, is an activity amongst believers. It's one of the purposes of our church. It's not the only one, but it's one of them. Mission, on the other hand, is about reaching those who are not here, those people whom God loves, who don't yet know him personally. Mission is the understanding that God is already active in the world. God has a mission, and God has invited us to join him in that mission out in the world. The life of the Christian can be illustrated quite simply with three words. And the words are up, in, and out. Up has to do with our relationship with God. Worship, prayer, Bible study. That's the up part of our Christian life. As we grow in Christ, as we mature in Christ, as we know Jesus more and more personally, that's the up part of the Christian's life. In has to do with the ministry within, the fellowship we have with one another, the way we support each other, we care for each other, we pray for one another. And then there's out. And out is about being sent out to a world that doesn't know Jesus, making intentional connections with other people who don't know him, that one day they might. It's to love others and respect others. And then when the time arrives, to share the good news, to share our story with others about what Jesus has done in our lives. Well, I was in a small group, and we were discussing this concept of the Christian life being formed by the up and the in and the out. And we all agreed we had wonderful up, good worship. We had a great small group and Bible study. And the in, oh, what great fellowship. But then we realized, you know, most of our relationships were all with members of our church. And we all said, you know, our out isn't very good. We thought, what are we going to do about that? Well, one of the women in our group said, you know, she said, I'm almost ashamed to say this, but my husband and I have lived in our house 20 years, and we don't know our neighbors. I mean, we know their names, the people on the left and the right and across the street. We go out to get our mail, and we wave to them and say hi, and maybe chit-chat a little bit, but we really don't know our neighbors. And so our small group said, well, what are you going to do about it? She said, you know, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to have a dinner. I'm going to invite the neighbors to dinner to our house so we can get to know them. We said, that's great. Next week when we meet, we'll ask you how it went. Because she said, I don't want to chicken out, so hold me accountable. So the next week we asked her, how'd it go? She said, oh, it's great. The neighbors all came. I was delighted to have them there. We had such wonderful conversations, got to know them. And she said, right before the meal started, I asked my husband if he'd say the table prayer. And so he did. He said a table prayer, and we all sat down and had a wonderful meal and got to know one another. We had so much fun that when the dinner ended, one of the neighbors, the one across the street, said, we'd like to do this next month. We'll be the host. And they all agreed that would be great. And then the husband of that neighbor said, but do I have to do that prayer thing? He wasn't a Christian, really didn't know how to pray, and so they assured him, no, you don't have to do that prayer thing when we sit down for dinner. But here's what they were doing. They were planting a seed. They weren't forcing anything, and they were excited to see how God was stepping into those relationships and anticipating how God would continue to develop those relationships. And maybe, just maybe someday, that man would say, I'd like to do the prayer thing today. But that would take some time. But they were stepping out. So the verse I want to focus on this morning is John 17:18. As you have sent me into the world, so have I sent them into the world. He's talking about us. I have sent them into the world. Eddie Gibbs is a theologian who studies church trends. Here's something he wrote. For 1,600 years, the church in the West has been one of the central pillars of society, and it operated largely on a come-to-us basis, with an increasing percentage of the population distant from institutional religion. Churches must move from the attractional model to the incarnational missional model. Churches must become seekers. Now, I have to tell you, this is a whole new paradigm, a whole new way of thinking about the church for any of us on that timeline who are over 50. We just haven't thought that way, but we need to think that way today. The church must become the seeker. In other words, we just can't sit around and wait for people to come to us. We must go to them. The era if you build it, they will come, that era is over. We are sent into the world to make Christ known. We are sent into the world to share his love with other people. And we see many examples of this missional understanding right here at Desert Hope. Last week, Lisa shared with us the report on the Gridley Work Day and the Gridley Teacher Appreciation Day, which was spearheaded by you, by the people of Desert Hope. This was and is the church in mission, going to where the needs are and ministering in the name of Jesus. Those two events were just an example of the many events, the many outs that this church has. It took intentionality. It took energy, lots of energy. It took time. It took a commitment, because nothing great ever happens without a great commitment. And it took an understanding that Jesus has given this church this mission. At some point in the past, the leadership of Desert Hope discerned that Jesus had a mission for Desert Hope to go and be missionaries to Gridley. And you've done that. At the last service, Frank Fontaine gave a report about the trip to Mexico a week or so ago. Moving report about what happened in Mexico. That is a church going in mission. Years ago, I had a chance to go to Hong Kong to see what was happening in the Christian church in Hong Kong. And while I was there, one Sunday afternoon, I had a chance to worship in a church for Filipino women. It was a Sunday afternoon, and a classmate of mine was a pastor in Hong Kong. She and her husband had moved there because he was teaching at the Lutheran Seminary in Hong Kong. And while she was there, she learned about the plight of these Filipino women who were in Hong Kong. They were very poor, and when they were in the Philippines, they heard about these jobs in Hong Kong where they could go and work for a Chinese family and make some money and support their family back home. Unfortunately, when they got there, it wasn't everything they were promised. When they got there, they found out they were expected to work long hours. They only got Sunday afternoons off. And they had to pay back that one-way ticket they had that got them to Hong Kong. And it could take years to pay back that ticket. And if they wanted to get a ticket to go home, well, it could take up to 5 or more years working for these families to get a ticket. Some of these women were just like slaves. Well, this American pastor heard about the plight of these Filipino women, and she did not wait for them to find her church and come to the church where she was serving. She went to them. She knew, she discerned that God had a mission for her. And so Sunday afternoons, being the only free time these women had, was the time that she would meet with them. She found a small room in a building right in the heart of Hong Kong, and she invited them to come. These women were desperate. They were in heartbreaking situations. I heard some of their stories. I couldn't believe that this was happening today. But it was. But you could also feel the joy that they found in this fellowship they had with one another. They could speak the same language. They're in similar situations. They were just filled with joy to be able to worship God and to be with one another. But it would not have happened if this American pastor hadn't discerned their need and then go to seek them out and call them to be together. When Jesus prayed for his disciples, he knew that they would run into obstacles. And here's what he prayed. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. We need to notice right away, Jesus sends us into mission, but that mission is never risk-free. And after being prayed over by Jesus, those disciples were one in mission, and they changed the world. We wouldn't be here today if he hadn't prayed over those disciples and sent them out. And those far from God heard good news, and they named the name that's above all others and received new life in Christ. And, as I said earlier, Jesus' prayer is also for us. He prays for us, and he sends us a mission to make him known. Remember that the goal of this prayer is that those who have been hostile to the coming of the Son may believe that the Father sent him, and that believing in him, they will find life in his name. A number of years ago, Lynn and I were in London, and it was one of my dreams to visit a particular church in London. Some of you have heard of this. It's called Holy Trinity Brompton, right in the heart of London. You see, this church in London, Pat, you remember this, yes. This church in London was where the Alpha Course was developed. The Alpha Course is an introduction to the Christian faith, and it's now spread around the world. And I've led that course many times. And so it was my dream to go to that church. Well, we were in London, and I discovered we were just a mile away. I could walk to it. And so I found out they were meeting on a Wednesday night, holding a class, and I went. And I got to that church and was just amazed watching streams of young people, Jack, your age, walking in the church, young people, young professionals, coming to learn about the Christian faith. I walked in, I was immediately handed a dinner plate and welcomed and said, go grab a meal and we're going to have you sit with a small group over here. It was a group they called the International Group. So I grabbed my meal, I went and sat with the International Group, and there were people from literally all over the world in that group. I remember two of the people were from Muslim nations. And they had tremendous stories to tell about Christianity in these Muslim nations. But there was one person who really caught my attention. It was a young woman who was leading our group. And she told us that she'd only been a Christian for 2 years. And so I asked her, would you mind telling us how you became a Christian? And here's what she said. She said she's from Denmark. And she said, Denmark is an atheistic country. Boy, when I heard that, I was stunned. In the United States, the Danish Lutherans have made a big impact in this country. They've started churches. They've started colleges. Some of you may have a Danish background. The Danish church, Lutheran church, was strong in Denmark at one time. She called it an atheistic country. She went on to say this, I'd never been to church. I think she was about 25 or 26 years old. I've never been to church. I didn't know anything about Christianity until 2 years ago. A friend told me about Jesus, but it seemed all so confusing until I went to the Alpha Course. It was there that I gave my life to Christ. My friends tell me that I'm a changed person, and I am. I have joy now and peace. I used to be so confused. My mind was so unsettled with worry, but now they tell me I smile all the time. Now, here's what she said next. My parents aren't Christians, and they're very concerned about me. They're afraid that I'm being brainwashed. What I want to do is to go, listen to that, go back to Denmark and begin an Alpha Course. I'm hoping that my mom and dad would go on an Alpha Course and that they would become Christians too. You see, this young woman gets it. We're not to keep the good news to ourselves and hope people come and ask. No, we are to go be in mission. And that's what she's going to do. She's going to go be in a mission in a country that's very secular. And it won't be easy for her, I'm sure. But she trusts God's going to be with her. And God will give her the strength and the wisdom to share at the right time that message with her parents and with others. Remember, Jesus prayed, as you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. The world desperately needs the mission of the church to go into the world and reach others with the gospel. We are not a cruise ship. We are not. We are more like an aircraft carrier. Our mission is to train, equip disciples to go into the world with the good news. As the Father sent Jesus, so now he sends us. Let's pray. Send us out, Lord, with confidence that you go with us. And surprise us, Lord, with joy as we do this, and get us out of our comfort zones so that we can move into the world to make a difference for you as we share the good news of your love for all people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.